Hi, I'm Scott Hansman, and it's Azure Friday. We're here with Kevin Lamb talking about the Azure Scheduler. We had a Azure Scheduler 101. We learned about some of the capabilities, but now we're going to see them inside of the new portal.
Yes. So in the last episode, we talked about the fundamentals and basics and the core of Azure Scheduler. So now let's actually go into the portal itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the portal. Great. So this is the released Azure portal.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I want to do is actually go through the experience of the scheduler service.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go ahead and browse. So if I had created job collections in the classic portal,
mm-hmm.
they will all show up in this list in the new portal. So if this is the first time you're using it but had used Scheduler before, then they'll show up here as
that
part
is,
of that
schedule. That is comforting and one of my first questions, because I think people are going to show up to the portal that they expect. They're going to see hey, try the new portal. They're going to wonder if their stuff is still, you know, where they left it, and it absolutely is.
And it absolutely is. They just show up here, and it works exactly the same way.
Okay, so here are your job. These are your job collections then, as before.
So one of the here I'll give you a little tidbit. So see the CS South Central U.S. scheduler. That's kind of an odd name somebody created.
Uh-huh.
So this shows that this is one of the job collections that was created in the classic portal, and that was created that was the cloud service that we had used as the container for job collections in that classic portal.
So when that was migrated over, they auto-generated that resource group name.
That's right. So now that resource group maps to that cloud service that was in the classic portal.
Yeah, okay.
So actually, let's look at the jobs in that. So here's the job collection. And so in all of the Azure experiences now, we have a pretty consistent experience for how we experience our resources.
Right. If you've done this before with websites or virtual machines, it's the same Blade interface that you're familiar with.
Exactly.
And what's nice about it, I think, is that the settings is searchable, which means everything's
right
easier
up
to find.
Yes, and you don't have to understand what those different parts mean. If I'm clicking on the right thing, it's all there in that right-hand side.
And I think it also means that your things are also pinnable, right? So
yes,
this five scheduler jobs here, I can right-click and pin that and put my scheduler jobs right up front.
Exactly right.
Very cool.
So here we see these are the out-of-the-box properties for any resource.
Mm-hmm.
And on the right-hand side are the ones that are specific to the resource that we're looking at, in this case, job collections.
Right.
So we see that we have a free SKU. Free SKUs can have at most five jobs, and the max recurrence for a free SKU is 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go ahead and scroll down, we get to see the list of jobs that I have in there. So we can see some are continuing to run. Some have been disabled, mm-hmm. and some are completed.
Go ahead and fold that down there.
Get some more real estate.
There we go. So we've got our scheduler jobs. We see frequency, everything in one place. Is this a stopped job there?
That's a disabled job.
A disabled job.
That's right.
All right.
And so if we continue scrolling down so you can see this full experience, we get some usage quota and job state.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this is telling you is that, you're full. There's nothing really wrong with it. It's just letting you know that you can't add more jobs.
Right.
And what you'll, so then from here, then you'll see the breakdown of all those jobs that you have in that collection. So we have five jobs, 60% are enabled, and 20% of each are disabled and completed.
Out of curiosity, some of your largest customers, what's a number of jobs are they looking at? Are they looking at hundreds or thousands?
For our largest customers, we've actually been working with some customers like Ford and some other customers who are in the millions of job collections.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Millions.
Millions. So, you know, they're not the guys who are going to come to the portal and look for their jobs in the millions of job collections.
Yeah, they're managing that with the API.
That's right. They're associating it with actual physical devices and using our scheduler to notify users who use their cars or other devices of new things that are happening.
Well, it's comforting to know that it scales.
Yes.
But it's also comforting to know that as a free user,
sorry, yep.
that I can get five and I can, you know, integrate that into my stuff right now.
Right. I mean, being one of the core Azure services, you know, we're able to satisfy both the simple user who just wants to create a simple job,
mm-hmm.
as well as large customers who want to create millions of jobs to get scheduled work done.
Mm-hmm.
And if we continue scrolling down, we'll see that you have your pricing tier that you can pick,
right,
as well as the operational events of things that have happened to this job collection.
Mm-hmm.
If we so this is the job that got transitioned over to our world. So let's look at a different job collection,
mm-hmm.
and let's drill into one of the jobs. As a matter of fact, let's create a new job.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and within a job collection, you can create a new job within that job collection.
Oh, and that adds it to that collection automatically?
That adds it to that collection automatically.
Okay, cool.
If you went and created it from the
if I went
marketplace,
said new, I'd probably have to specify a collection.
It will actually create the collection for you if it doesn't exist.
Okay.
So the experience is mostly related, is focused on the job itself.
Okay, that makes sense.
So let's create a new service bus job. So here's my SP job. So now you have two things that you can set. Mm-hmm. You can configure the action settings and the schedule. So let's actually go configure the action settings. So the first thing that you're able to do is configure the action. So we'll see a list of actions. Mm-hmm. So you have HTTP, HPS, storage queue, service bus queue, and service bus topic. Let's first go through HTTP just so we can see what capabilities you have. Mm-hmm. Here on the URI, you can call anything you want.
And see, for me as a web person, I think that's very convenient because I'm immediately seeing, I know my websites, I know how to do web APIs, I understand kind of web hooks. Here I could have you post some important information and context to me or call a get and fire off a job. So
that's
this this as a web person fits right into my workflow right now.
That's right. So, you know, in websites, we have web jobs, and web jobs actually uses this capability to invoke a web job.
Really?
Right? It just has a run endpoint that you can call.
That's cool.
The automation guys for runbooks has a webhook that they expose, and you can use scheduler to call their webhook to get these more advanced schedules.
Nice.
So we have, I'm going to bing.com. You can add custom headers as part of that the HP request. Mm-hmm. And you also have a number of authentication settings you can use. So as I did said in the intro, you can do basic, client certificates are active, directory OAuth. So mm-hmm. you can have a service principal that you want to actually talk to your endpoint. That's typical for any resource behind ARM. If you have a service principal, you can go ahead and communicate with that service, that endpoint. Mm-hmm. Then you have a retry policy. So by default, it runs four times every 30 seconds. You can turn it off if you want it to fail fast. That would be the none. Or you can have a custom one. You can set it to whatever you want. The minimum would be, for your settings, would be one every minute, but you can set it to hours, days, months.
Sure. If I've got a website that's in the middle of recycling, you know, every 30 seconds for 2 minutes seems like a reasonable thing.
Yes, that's a typical thing. You get a little network glitch mm-hmm. you know, out in the world, and it should that should be sufficient.
Let me ask you this. Would I need to put some kind of a, do you send any kind of correlation ID to make sure I don't get invoked twice?
Yes. So even though we have these custom headers here, mm-hmm. With every HTTP request, we send scheduler headers as well. So we send the job ID, the correlation ID, the time that we sent it, the location we sent it from. So you can use all that data to create context. So it's really helpful for idempotent requests. You'll see that same correlation ID through each retry.
Right, I would not want it to have it happen and then think it didn't work out. The hiccup fired off a backup job and now
right.
I got interleaving.
Exactly. All you did was lose the response back for the ACK of the request.
Exactly.
But we'll try again. You'll see it's the same correlation ID and it's all okay.
Okay, that's really nice. And that context comes along for free.
That's right. You don't have to set anything.
Cool.
And then finally is the error action. So an error action is no different than a main action, except it's the action that will be called in case that main action fails and all the retries fail for that action. Mm-hmm. So if we did all of our best to try to make that call and we can't, then we'll call this error action. And you can configure that error action to be any of the actions that we support.
Okay.
So let's...
Were going to turn that into a service bus action?
Let's turn that into a service bus action. So we do support... HTTP and HPS are really the same. It's just giving you a hint saying, hey, you know, remember that you actually want to use SSL.
Yeah, it's a way of calling out security as being
That's
important.
Right. So let's actually go to a service bus queue. This has been a highly requested feature, and so we're really excited to be able to support it now. I have my try it bus, and I'm going to send to a queue called Q1. Mm-hmm. And you have authentication settings.
Okay.
So my queue policy. And hopefully, I have to go grab my
super secret
key, which I'm just going to delete
it's
after.
Not a secret anymore.
Not a secret anymore.
Okay.
So somebody might send me a lot of messages. Oh, no. Okay.
I'd be impressed if they did.
Yeah. Okay, so then I've set up that key. You get to pick the transport type, which is net messaging or MQP. So depending on the service bus queue that you're actually sending to.
Right.
It can actually be a service bus itself or more classic, a generic AMQP endpoint. We also have brokered message properties. So these are all the built-in service bus message properties that you may want to set. In the past, people have always asked for more configurability, so we're giving you more configurability out of the box instead of waiting for you to ask.
And if you're already familiar with service bus, you're going to be like, ah, finally now, this is exactly the kind of control that I want.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then you have custom properties. So let's do a custom property. Name value pair from scheduler.
Okay.
Just so we can see that happen.
What would you put in the message? I mean, what kind of things go into a message like
so,
this?
Might you put JSON?
Or
you can put a JSON blob in there, and we'll just send it as is. Some folks just send some type of identifier saying that it's from scheduler.
Mm-hmm.
But you can put anything that you want in there. It'll just get sent over. And then finally, again, you can set retry policy or error action. So we go ahead and set that. And then we can get into schedules.
Mm-hmm.
So for schedules, you know, we talked about the different types of scheduling that you can do.
Right.
And here, what you're looking at is a run once schedule. So you say once, you pick the start time and the UTC offset.
Very important.
It defaults to your current UTC offset. So we're in -8 since we're in the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
And that's great. But that's not such an exciting schedule. So let's actually pick something more interesting.
That time zone thing's actually trickier than you think. Most people run their servers in Zulu time, and you got to think about those things. So it's nice that you called that out.
But I will call something out that's important that confuses some people. So notice we particularly said UTC offset and not time zone. So what that implies is that it doesn't support daylight savings.
Right.
That is a top feature in our request list, and we will be implementing that pretty soon.
Oh, that's good to know.
Hopefully before the next daylight savings, we'll have the ability to do that.
Time zones are hard.
Yes.
I have a bug in my blog.
Uh-huh.
It's down for 1 hour every year.
as we
fall back. But it always works itself out. Someone tweets me every single year, hey, it's down. I say, hang on for an hour. Time zones are hard.
Okay, so looking at a recurring schedule, you can then set the recurrence number and the type of recurrence that you want. Let's say that we'll do it for months. And then notice that it gives you an advanced schedule option for months. So for options that are days, weeks, and months, you get advanced scheduling advanced schedule options.
What's advanced about months?
What's advanced about months? So for months, you get to do things like pick the day of the month that you want. So let's say I want to run the second day and the 24th day of the month.
Nice.
You get to do that. We make it simple. You can say the last day of the month because 31 is technically 31. It's not always the last day.
Right.
So we give you a shortcut for that. Under the covers, that really means -1 for the new API users. And we also let you set the hours that you want to have it run at. So if we say at 8.
Oh, wow, that is advanced. Yeah.
15 and 30. So that means it's going to run at 8:30 and 7:30. What you'll actually see, and we'll give you a little hint at the bottom. 3:30, thank you. We'll give you a hint at the bottom of the hours that they will actually run at.
Nice. It couldn't be much more flexible, could it?
You'd be surprised. People ask for crazy things.
People do have some weird stuff, but that's still pretty slick.
Yeah. But what's even more fun, if we go to the weekdays, now you can do more interesting schedules like, hey, let's run the first Monday and last Friday of the month.
Nice.
And so now you have a great schedule that runs on the last Friday and first Monday at 8:30 and 3:30 each day.
That can be complicated when the last Friday is either the fourth or the fifth Friday.
That's right,
the
and month. You don't know that. Yeah. That's right.
Very cool. This is a great new UI. This looks really very, very easy to configure.
Well, we've done usability testing, and a lot of people found this to be pretty intuitive. So hopefully everybody else finds it as intuitive as they did.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we can go ahead and save that, and we'll actually go ahead and create that job. So creating jobs is pretty snappy. Let's see if I'm held to my word. Yes. So we've created that new job. And one of the things we could do.
It'll pop in there at some point.
Should pop in there.
What if you click on the whole tile?
There we go.
There it is.
Oh, so my SP job.
Nice.
So now let's actually go into the job itself. So again, this is another resource blades. We have the same information on the essentials. Mm-hmm. It hasn't run yet, so the last run isn't shown yet, but it tells you when the next time will run, especially for these complex schedules. It's like, well, you know, with these complex schedules, how do I know what the next runtime will be? So this will actually be on December 7th at 8:30 in the morning.
Calls out next run there in essentials.
That's right.
That's nice.
And then you can see the job type and the collection if you want to navigate back.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and collapse that. So right on the main page, you'll get to see a tile for the schedule. So it's a monthly job that starts on the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to see the action itself. And if you click on those, you get to go drill into those settings that
back
you have.
Back to the editing.
Right, so for the schedule or for the action itself and go ahead and
can you fire this job right now?
As a matter of fact, let's go do that. We have a run now. This has been another big ask for customers. So now the job has been run, mm-hmm. and this is an asynchronous experience, so it's
right.
told our backend, say, hey, run that job now. So it's now plus a
now-ish.
Few seconds, now-ish.
Okay, so then I'm assuming, naively, that at some point it'll show up in the history.
That's right. So if we go ahead and let's click on that history, we should see it hasn't run yet.
How long does it take to invoke a job? 30 seconds, a minute?
It's, you know, depending on exactly, you know, when you hit the run now, there's scheduled workloads in the background that will mm-hmm. that will pick those up. Because we know that our minimum granularity is a minute, at worst it'll be about 30 seconds because then we'll fix it.
Running now is really a schedule ASAP.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Which makes sense.
Right, because it's just sending a message to our backend to go, please schedule this now.
Right.
Yep.
While things I assume that are scheduled to happen at a particular minute do happen at that minute.
That's right.
Run now isn't a typical kind of thing that you would do. It's more of a debugging thing.
Correct.
Okay. So that's going to run. And
hopefully that's run now. So now it's run. It's completed.
Nice.
So let's actually go. I have a little utility that can go interrogate my queue.
Okay.
So hopefully this goes and interrogates my queue, and we have that message. So the interesting thing to notice is that we have custom message properties. So the ones that I set, that app name from scheduler, that's what we did in the action settings. And then you can see all the pre-configured custom properties as well. So you get to see the execution tag, the request ID, the execution time, job ID, job collection ID, and region. So you see that it was sent from West US, and you get all that information with your message itself.
All inside of that same dictionary, you've got the context that you populate and then any custom
That's
context.
Right.
That
One of the great things about using service bus queues is that those custom properties are distinct from the message body itself.
Right. They are metadata.
It's metadata, so it doesn't interfere with my this is an interesting message that I had sent there.
Very cool. So people can start using this now. This stuff is in the Azure portal.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 5 of these for free if you've never really thought about it. And if you're doing any kind of scheduling yourself, you should not be doing it yourself.
This
is a solved problem.
That's right. For, you know, what sometimes people think, how hard is it to, you know, create a loop with some wait time in it? But, you know, as you get to more complex schedules or you get to more and more jobs, that becomes a lot hairier than you think it could be.
Very cool. We're learning all about the Azure Scheduler here on Azure Friday.